No, which is why I like audio. I think I've got. I think both Reza and I have got the perfect faces for podcasts.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Hello and welcome to episode 91 of Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. I'm Craig.
And he's Mike over there, and I'm Reza. What's happened? There's someone in
the
room.
We're a threesome. We're very, very happy and honoured to welcome Mr. Mike Harding. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Craza. Reg.
Craza. He's combined us into one person, Craza.
Don't worry, we can edit that out.
Craza sounds pretty crazy to me. No, keep it.
We can edit that out. If you are a new listener to this award-winning podcast, welcome. With over 40 years, well, we usually say, Reza and I, over 40 years of teaching between us. But because Mike's here, how many years experience do we have collectively?
Well, add Mike's 150 to our 40, and that's 190.
Mike, how long have you been teaching?
44 years.
44 years. So between us, we have 84 years of teaching experience to bring to you on this podcast. And in this episode, we're speaking about the past perfect simple, and past perfect continuous. So let's begin with maybe a description. Guys, what is the past perfect? How would you describe it? What's it used for?
Well, my favorite way of simplifying is it to say it's the past before the past. For me, that's the essence of it. No?
Do you agree with that, Mike?
Yeah, I say it's the past, but that because I'm a bit dumb.
The pre-pasado. So if you're a Spanish listener, you'd compare it to the pluscom perfecto. Is that right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if you did Latin, it would be the plus perfect.
The plus perfect. So if you're French, you'd understand that as well. And it can, of course, be simple or continuous. So you could have past perfect simple or past perfect continuous or progressive. So let's start with the past perfect simple. Something that happened before another action in the past. It can also show that something happened before a specific time in the past. And do you agree that the focus tends to be usually on the completion of the action or the completion of the state, not the continuity of it?
Yeah, I would say so, yeah.
Are you okay with that, Mike?
Yes, I'd go along with that.
Okay. Reza, what's the form? How do you make it?
Well, it's very simple and there are no exceptions. It's had or the apostrophe D plus the past participle. That's it. Very simple. Had eaten, had been, had forgotten, had seen, etc.
So, Mike, if we're looking at when we'd use the past perfect simple, how does the past perfect simple fit in with the other tenses?
Well, let's see. That was my line. Okay. Well, let's see where the past perfect simple fits in. To do this, you have to look at a much more important tense, the past simple.
Now, most of our listeners know the past simple, don't they? That's a very common tense.
The past simple forms the basis of a narrative when you're telling a story. Not a film, not a play, because you probably use the present to do that, but you're telling a story of your own, and the past simple gives us a sequence of events.
Could you give us an example?
Sure. Maybe last night you stayed up, you didn't go to bed to watch a film, and you went to bed too late. In the morning, you didn't hear your alarm, and you woke up too late. You got dressed in an awful hurry, you didn't have any breakfast, and you rushed out of a house. And then you realized you had forgotten your keys.
Ah, so the had forgotten your keys is where the past perfect comes in.
Yeah, the verbs in the story, the past simple verbs, have a fixed order, and you can't change them unless you change the story. But the had forgotten takes us back to before or during when you got dressed, or maybe you put on another jacket, or before you rushed out of the house, you didn't check to see that you had your keys.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you're shifting the time reference. So all those things happened in the past in sequence and not connected. So you didn't hear your alarm, you woke up late, you got dressed, you had breakfast, and or you didn't have breakfast. And then the past perfect is like a pre-past of those things.
Mm-hmm. It takes us back to a previous stage of the narrative. It's very good for giving reasons. For example, you couldn't get back into your house because you had forgotten your keys.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say because you forgot. You have to say because you had forgotten, because it happened before. And obviously it could be a negative action. So it's not just positive, it could be negative. An action that you didn't take, which is the case here, you couldn't get back into your house because you hadn't taken your keys.
Could we translate that into Spanish for a second in case people are not exactly following? So you couldn't get back into your house because you hadn't taken your keys. Reza, how would you say that in Spanish?
Spanish wouldn't be in Spanish, no podías volver a entrar en tu casa porque no habías cogido tus llaves. Is that right?
Sounds good to me. Do you agree with that, Mike?
I'll stick.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's no pudiste volver a entrar en tu casa porque te habías olvidado tus llaves. Everybody will be laughing at us anyway. We can't see you, so it doesn't matter.
Let's try another example with the past perfect. If you had gone to bed at the right time, none of this would have happened. If you had gone to bed at the right time, none of this would have happened. How's that in Spanish? I have no idea.
Si te hubieras ido a la cama, nada de eso habría pasado.
But we're getting into complicated territory there because it's now subjunctive territory.
Ooh.
Which is always a minefield for us.
Yeah.
Didn't you say, Mike, no, si no hubieras ido?
I did. Or hubieses.
Okay. So it's the past perfect in English, but it isn't pluscuamperfecto. It isn't in Spanish. It's subjunctive in Spanish. So they don't always translate exactly to between past perfect and pluscuamperfecto.
Well, I think that's always what keeps us in money, Reza.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Yeah, otherwise we wouldn't be earning our money, would we? Let me give you some more examples, and perhaps you could try to translate them into Spanish, but leave like a 1 or 2 seconds so that the listeners can try to understand and translate them into Spanish. Because the good thing about the past perfect, I think, the good news is it usually translates fairly easily into Spanish. So let's look at some more examples. But remember, before you translate these, let's leave a second or two for the listeners to try to translate themselves into, try to translate into Spanish and see if they're correct. When Mike arrived, true, by the way, when Mike arrived this morning, we had already recorded a podcast.
Cuando Mike llegó, ya habíamos grabado un podcast.
When Mike arrived, we had already recorded a podcast. Next one. I'd never seen such an excellent system for learning phrasal verbs before I saw Mike's CD. Mike, that's for you.
Nunca había visto un sistema tan excelente para aprender phrasal verbs antes de conocer el CD de Mike.
Can I just say that I hadn't realized up to now how modest Mike was?
Me neither. Never had I seen a modest man, to use an inversion from a previous podcast. After she'd studied Mike's phrasal verb CD, she understood the subject much better, Reza. Let me repeat it for people at home. After she'd studied Mike's phrasal verb CD, mm-hmm, she understood the subject much better.
I'm not going to use a pluscuamperfecto.
You're not?
I don't fancy it.
Okay.
I'm going to say, después de estudiar el CD de phrasal verbs de Mike, ella entendía el tema mucho mejor. I think would be the most natural Spanish translation, no? Although in English, we prefer to say after she had studied. Mm-hmm. But in Spanish, it sounds more natural to me to say después de haber estudiado, no? So in Spanish, you might not always use the plus.
But you said después de estudiar.
Did I? But both. Both. It doesn't matter. Después de estudiar, the normal infinitive, or después de haber estudiado, the perfect infinitive, it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. But what do you reckon, Mike? Would you do that, or would you use a pluscuamperfecto in Spanish?
I couldn't say that sentence. I'm a modest man.
Well, I can't. There's no comeback to that.
Here's an example with two heads. Listen carefully.
Two heads are better than one, aren't they?
Two heads are better than one. We had. It's more natural to contract the first had. We'd had our printer. We'd had our old printer for 8 years before we bought that new one.
We had. Uh-huh. Sounds weird, but that's really common in English, isn't it? Very, very common. The past perfect of the verb to have is had.
So there's the full verb, el verbo principal, to have a printer, una impresora, to have a printer, and then the had for the past perfect auxiliary verb. We'd had our printer, our old printer, for 8 years before we bought that new one. Mike, can you translate that?
I can, and this is where the English will always make a mistake by trying to say habíamos tenido, but it isn't. It's teníamos nuestra impresora durante 8 años antes de comprar aquella nueva.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I often make mistakes with that, so that's a typical mistake I make in Spanish.
But then the Spanish make the mistake because they can't say we'd had, they can't say the d. Or we don't hear the d.
We'd had. It's difficult to understand because you've also got the connection of the final d, the consonant d, with the our printer. So it's we'd had our.
Yep.
We'd had our printer.
You've got to listen really carefully to hear that apostrophe d, don't you? It's not easy to hear it.
Oh, you just have to have good grammar and faith. You have to believe that there is one there. Because we're not going to eat it, are we?
Do you believe? So let's look at the question form in the negative. But first, the question form. There's a different word order, obviously. Had you ever won? Had you ever won an award before you won in Manchester last year? That's a question for you, Reza.
No, I hadn't.
Reza. Answer me this. Had you ever won an award before you won in Manchester last year?
Apart from my cycling proficiency award in P7, I hadn't.
You hadn't?
No, I hadn't. What about you?
Apart from winning my length certificate for swimming a length of the swimming pool, no, I hadn't.
Yeah. So Mike's not the only modest guy here. We're all really modest, in fact.
Mike, have you ever won an award for anything?
Yes.
What for?
For 1965 Dunster Archery Junior Champion.
Archery?
Archery.
Okay.
I had a medal.
Interesting.
First or second place?
First.
Oh. But now you've impressed me.
There weren't many people.
So the negative, how do we make the negative? Anyone want to jump in with the negative for the past perfect?
You just put not or nt to the had, hadn't or had not.
You put a not in it.
You put a not in it.
For example, I hadn't studied Spanish before I came to Spain. That's true. I hadn't studied Spanish before I came to Spain. Have you got an example, Reza?
Of a negative.
Of a negative with the past perfect?
I hadn't thought of one. Let's see. Oh, I hadn't thought of an example before Craig asked me.
Incidentally, the difficulty for Spanish comes with had when it means tener. No tuve una oportunidad. Like a lot of Spanish will say, I hadn't a chance. That's rather old-fashioned English. We would say, I didn't have a chance. If it's the verb tener, then you'd say, for the past, negative, didn't have.
I hadn't a chance sounds very formal to me.
My dad used to say that, but he's not here anymore. So it's quite easy. If it's había, no había, then it's had not, hadn't. If it's no tenía or no tuve, then it's didn't have. But we're not dealing with that. I just thought I'd put it in there.
Another example, Reza arrived late.
What? That's so unlike me.
By the time, which also goes with past perfect very often, by the time expression. By the time Reza arrived, we had already ordered our food from the waiter. Can you think of any other examples you'd like to share before we move on to the continuous?
Yes, maybe to show the expression as soon as, which is very common with the past perfect. As soon as he had lit his cigarette, the bus arrived at the stop. And isn't it true? It always happens. Mm-hmm. As soon as he had lit his cigarette, the bus arrived at the stop. That's the normal word order. Or you could use an inversion. Another typical expression with past perfect is no sooner, which means the same as soon as. But listen to this. No sooner had he lit his cigarette than the bus arrived at the stop. When you begin the sentence no sooner, you're obliged to invert the order of the words and put the auxiliary had before the subject he. We've dealt with that in another episode, haven't we, Craig? I can't remember right now which one, but we...
Yes, we spoke about inversion, sentence inversion, how to invert sentences in English in episode 78. So you need to go to inglespodcast.com/78 and you'll find a whole podcast on sentence inversion. Shall we move on to the... Shall we continue to the continuous?
Oh, very good. Very droll.
Okay. So one thing that students might find confusing is when to use past perfect simple and past perfect continuous, when to choose between the two. So how would you describe the use of past perfect continuous?
So past perfect continuous... the past before the past, like the past perfect simple. But when you use the continuous form, the focus is on the continuity of the action or state. It focuses on the fact that the activity continued for a while or that it was a temporary action which later stopped at some point or was interrupted or... that it was an action that repeated a lot. All of those situations tend to be covered by past perfect continuous.
But can't I just say that it's something that that started in the past and continued up to a particular time in the past?
Yes, but you can do the same with past perfect simple. For example, I had lived in Salamanca for 2 years before I came to Valencia. Equals, I had been living in Salamanca for 2 years before I came to Valencia. They're both correct. So one's simple and one's continuous.
They're both correct, but when would you choose one over the other?
As I said,
does it matter?
Yes, you would choose continuous if you want to stress the continuity of the action or the fact that it was an action that was interrupted and stopped, whereas you would use the simple to stress the fact that it was a completed action.
So as in present perfect simple continuous, it's the same idea that the emphasis is on the activity or the action in the continuous form.
Exactly.
And the emphasis is on completion, something that's completed in the simple form. Do you agree with that?
Yes, but you've probably chosen a verb where you can do that, like live.
Live and work, yeah. You can't do it with all verbs.
If you chose read, then you get that lovely... comparison, like I have read 15 books this year and I've been reading the last book by the last Harry Potter book and I can't understand a word.
Right.
Whereas you've got your achievement, I have read, and you've got I've been reading, you're probably still doing it.
Right.
Or about to give up.
Yeah.
Another example could be Valencia had been playing very well before the new manager. They had won 15 games.
Yes, and then that was stopped or interrupted somehow. That the continuity was stopped or interrupted.
So in the first example, they had been playing. The emphasis is on the activity of playing football. But in the second one, the emphasis is on the individual games they'd won, as in the individual books he'd read.
Right.
And the form? What? How do you form the past perfect continuous?
Very simple. Again, there are no irregulars. It's had plus been plus the ing form of the verb.
So, Mike, back to your forgotten keys story, because I...
I'd forgotten about that.
I'd forgotten completely what you were talking about, so could you...
Don't think you were listening in the first place, but anyway.
I wasn't listening, but for the listeners who were, could you recap on the keys story and the narrative idea of putting the past perfect into narratives to make it more interesting?
Well, to do that before, just to be difficult, I'll put the idea of description into narrative. You can't really have a bare narrative with no description and keep interest. That's why you forgot, really. So, last night you stayed up, you didn't go to bed to watch a film. It was a really great film about dragons and monsters and heroes were flying about all over the place. As a result, you went to bed far too late. The bed wasn't made, but you were too tired to worry. In the morning, you didn't hear the alarm. This was hardly surprising. You woke up late, you got dressed in an awful hurry. The room was in a terrible mess. Things were lying everywhere. You didn't have time for any breakfast, and you rushed out of a house like a bat out of hell. It was only after you'd closed the door that you realized you'd forgotten your keys. So there we have a description with was, were, past continuous, that makes the narrative more palatable, more rico, appetitoso. Mm-hmm.
And I noticed there were two past perfect tenses at the end. So it was only after you had closed the door, past perfect, that you realized, past simple, that you had forgotten your key. So you're going backwards and forwards in the narrative.
And this use of tenses makes a narrative more interesting as well. Going back, it's not just, I've forgotten something, I'm going to go back. It actually makes it more interesting.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
The past perfect continuous can add to this description. For example, you had been working really hard and wanted to give yourself a treat, so you stayed up to watch a film. You didn't hear your alarm. You woke up late. Actually, you hadn't been sleeping very well recently. You hadn't been living in the flat for very long. Let's look at
So sorry to stop you there. So the emphasis there, again, is on the activity of sleeping. You hadn't been sleeping. Mm-hmm. The activity of living in the flat. You hadn't been living in the flat. So again, just to emphasize, the past perfect continuous or progressive emphasizes the activity and the duration of the activity.
Yes, and you're giving a bit of description, which is not part of a sequence of actions like the past simple verbs were. Right. It doesn't take the story any further. It just describes the story. Yeah.
Right. So it's the past perfect continuous then is very good for background information.
Yes.
Okay.
Background description.
Yeah. Like also the past continuous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's just further back in the past.
We've spoken about that. I woke up. I went out. The birds were singing. The sun was shining. People were driving to work, etc.
Mm-hmm. Also, I think similar to the present perfect continuous, the past perfect continuous very often gives the idea that there's some kind of evidence that the action has recently finished with a present perfect continuous, like, what have you been doing? You're really dirty. Oh, I've been painting. You can see the evidence. And it's the same for past perfect continuous. He was covered in paint last week. He had been painting. Yeah, so it's good. I think they share that similarity as well.
Mm-hmm. And that would be more or less the same in Spanish, whereas the examples about I have lived, I've been living, do not share
right.
Spanish grammar.
Mm-hmm. Right. If we compare two sentences, listen to these two. When I woke up yesterday, it was raining. The rain was falling when I woke up. When I woke up yesterday, it had been raining. Past perfect. So the rain wasn't falling when I woke up. It had recently stopped. It had been raining before, but the ground was still wet. So that's an interesting comparison. Any comments on those two?
Yes, what I said a minute ago, past perfect continuous, because it had stopped by that point, but continuous rather than simple, because there's evidence the ground is still wet. It had been raining, clearly. There's the ground with the water on it.
Exactly. Before we move on, one point that obviously this podcast has many examples, and if you're having problems following our explanation, you'll find the detailed show notes at inglespodcast.com/91. So when you can get to a computer or look at your phone, go to the show notes and you'll be able to read along with our examples. Now, are there any more points related to the past perfect that you'd like to mention? Either of you, Reza or Mike?
Well, Craig, earlier, I can't remember, but one of you used a third conditional, if I recall. I can't remember who, but somebody used a sentence with if.
So are you saying that you can use the past perfect in the third conditional?
I'm saying you have to.
Okay, just wanted to clarify.
You can and you must.
So the third conditional includes the past perfect. Could you give an example?
I can't remember if we had one earlier or not, so I'll invent my own.
I think Mike said something about a conditional.
Well, what about this? If I hadn't drunk so much whiskey on Saturday night, I wouldn't have felt so bad on Sunday morning.
Is that true?
No.
Or is that just
an example? Totally okay. Fictitious.
Let's try and think of some real examples. If I'd got married when I was 22, I'd have had a family at a very young age.
Yeah, that's a good example.
Can you think of one that's true for you?
If I hadn't stayed in Valencia, I might have gone to Sardinia.
Really? Why Sardinia?
Yeah, because I had a job offer there and I was going to go the next day.
Oh, that's interesting.
While I was in Valencia.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's true.
And what changed your mind at the time? What convinced you to stay here?
The British Council offered me a job. I was going to go the next day.
Any regrets?
No. No, not really. Or from our previous lesson, no comment.
No comment. Mike, could you give us a true example for your life with the past perfect? With the third conditional, including the past perfect?
If my parents had taken me abroad when I was really young, I would have learnt another language. I always wanted to learn another language, but they kept me in England.
Was it a possibility that they were they talking about it?
My father was in the Navy. He could have had a posting abroad rather than in England, but he wanted us to have an English upbringing. Anyway, I took my daughter abroad, so now she speaks Spanish fine.
But Mike, you've
If you hadn't brought your daughter to Spain, she wouldn't have learned Spanish.
Exactly.
Sorry, Reza.
I was just going to say, Mike, you have lived in quite a few places. Hadn't you lived in three or four places before you came to Valencia?
That sounds strange to me. I would have said, didn't you live?
Yeah. Well, but they're both right. That's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So hadn't you lived in a few places before Valencia? Or I could say with the past simple, didn't you live?
Mm-hmm.
Which was a point I wanted to make, really, that very often it doesn't matter if you use the past perfect or past simple. When the time order is obvious, doesn't really matter.
Then it doesn't, right, yes.
Yeah. What about, isn't that true? Where had you lived or where did you live before you came to?
I'd lived in Greece and I'd lived in Scotland and in between in Manchester, if you count that.
If there's a series of actions, one after the other, and the order is obvious, as Mike's just said, because he said then, after, next, words like that, then you don't have to use the past perfect because the time expression tells you next means next. Before means before, after means after.
Maybe if I'm saying I had lived there, I'm connecting with your structure. Whereas if I just said, I lived there, I lived the other place, then I'm not. I'm just giving a list.
Before we move on with this podcast on the Past Perfect, we'd like to thank our sponsor, iTalki. What is italki.com? iTalki is a website where you can find effective quality teaching. It's a marketplace connecting teachers and students. If you'd like personal teaching and personal tutors from anywhere in the world, from the United States, from the UK, from Australia, then you'll find them on iTalki. And it's a very convenient way of learning English over the internet and through Skype. It's affordable, it's cheaper than a language school, and it's personal and customized to your needs. So you'd find a teacher and you'd explain to the teacher what you're looking for, and the teacher would design a course for you and teach you over the internet when it's convenient for you. So if you're interested in connecting with a personal teacher to improve your speaking or any aspect of your English, iTalki are offering listeners of this podcast 100 free iTalki credits, which is about, what, Reza, 13, 14 euros?
That's right.
If you sign up through our website, they'll give you a free lesson. So you have to go to inglespodcast.com/italki. Just click on Start Speaking, Find a Teacher. And we want to say thank you to iTalki for sponsoring Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. Any more points? Have we spoken about the third conditional reported speech?
Yes, past perfect is very common in reported speech. Because the general rule of reported speech is put everything back a step in the past.
Right.
So if somebody says something with present, put it back to past.
Present perfect changes to past perfect.
As well. So yeah. Present simple, present perfect, present continuous, put it back to a past tense.
Right.
Past simple, past continuous. And then verbs which are already in the past, past simple or past continuous, well, put them back further to the past perfect simple or past perfect continuous. On the whole, although it's not strictly always true. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think it's sometimes stepped back to a previous tense, and sometimes it's just left as it is. But don't forget that if somebody says something in the past perfect, you can't go further back, so it stays in the past perfect. Right. If I said I'd never met Mike before I started working at the school, that would not change. Craig said that he had never met Mike, so there's no change if somebody says something in the past perfect. And as you said before, Reza, that often past simple is okay. You don't need to use the past perfect. Past simple is perfectly okay, especially if there's a time expression. So give another example of that.
Well, for example, Bill had been married twice before he met Susan. I could say Bill was married twice before he met Susan. Mm-hmm. So past perfect or past simple doesn't really matter, because presumably, unless Bill lives in Utah, let's presume he doesn't, he had two divorces. And then he married Susan.
Right.
Utah's where Mormons live, and they can have more than one wife.
Salt Lake City.
Let's presume he's not a Mormon, or he's not a polygamist, and he had the two divorces first. That's pretty obvious, so you don't need to use a past perfect. People can work that out without a past perfect.
Let's look at time expressions. Mike, what time expressions are often associated with past perfect?
Well, I'm going to be difficult again and go to the present tense. If I put this on.
Just to describe what's happening here, Mike's just put on his Basque beret. Yeah.
And it's very fetching, may I say. He looks very good in it.
On top of the headphones, he looks wonderful.
And I could say, have you...
Seen? You? He's miming now. Have you... Had you seen? Mike's beret before.
Right.
Is that
okay? Yeah. Have you seen? So you say, I haven't seen Mike's beret before. I haven't seen Mike in a beret.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. That would translate in the same way in Spanish.
Yeah.
And then here's where the difficulty is. You could say, it's the first time.
I have seen Mike in a beret.
Yeah, because it's present, it's happening now. Then it's the first time I have seen Mike's beret, or I've seen Mike in a beret.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take your life a few years hence, when I'm gone, and you can say,
God. Don't say that, Mike. That won't be for a long
you
time.
Say,
we hope.
I remember. Well, you could do a couple of months. You say, I remember that time when Mike came in. It was the first time I
had seen Mike wearing a beret.
Right. This is a very difficult construction. It's difficult enough in Spanish because you're going to say, you're going to use the present tense. It's the first time que le veo, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But we use the present perfect. And if you say, yes, you have to, because that's English.
Yeah, that's a good example. That's a very common mistake, isn't it?
And when I'm speaking Spanish and I want to say something similar, and I have to stop myself because I'm tempted to say, "Era la primera vez que la vi que lo veía." I have to stop myself.
What you want to say, "Que había visto"?
Claro, obviously, because you're very tempted to follow the grammar of your own language,
right, and translate it directly.
And what's more, you're very tempted to think that it's perfectly correct. And why isn't it correct? It should be correct. Well, it isn't.
Yeah. They're not translating my English correctly into Spanish. What's going on here? What's happening?
So there's that one.
Yes. Any others?
Oh, there's one which is, I used to, when I had students, when they didn't walk out, I had students come in on the first day, and I used to try and get them to tell me how long it was since they'd last spoken English. And have you tried to get people to say that?
How long it was since they'd last spoken English?
And they say, It's 2 months.
I don't speak English. I don't speak English.
It's three months since I don't speak English. Yeah.
Which is wrong.
Yeah.
They put K. They put a negative. They put a negative. They put a present tense, and you've got complete difference. But in English, we'd say it's 3 months since I spoke English, or it's 3 months since I have spoken English. Excuse my English. It's 3 months since I have spoken English.
And if you put that back into the past?
It was 3 months since he had spoken English.
So it has to be past perfect.
Yeah. Instead of in Spanish, you'd use a different tense. These are very difficult things to change. You just have to practice them, and you have to be happy with them, and to realize, well, that's how we say it in English.
Yeah, and just to learn it as a something that's different from Spanish.
You just have to learn it.
Mm-hmm. Any other points? There are other time expressions associated with the past perfect.
Before, after are the main ones. By the time.
By the time.
As soon as, or inverted, no sooner, but than.
Up to then.
To then, up to that point,
mm-hmm.
up to that moment. And also when you're giving an explanation, we had earlier the word because. When you're giving an explanation of previous circumstances,
giving reasons else for something. Past,
because, very often, he was very dirty because he had just been walking in the rain. That's why. Because is not a time expression.
Was that dirty rain?
It's a very dirty way.
Another true example, I went to bed early last night. This is true. I went to bed very early because I'd been exercising and I was very tired. So that, to differentiate the time, I went to bed, and before that I had been exercising. And I chose past perfect continuous because the important thing is the activity of exercising. Let's tell a story and use a past perfect. I've got three scenarios for each of us. I'll start. I'm a zombie. So imagining I'm a zombie, I'm going to invent a story using the past simple and in different tenses and try to include the past perfect. So yesterday I woke up at the usual time. Actually I woke up a bit later because I hadn't been sleeping well and I'd gone to bed late and I couldn't sleep. So I woke up at the usual time, and when I looked out the window, there was no traffic. There was silence in the street. It looked like that people hadn't woken up. I went downstairs, opened the door, and there was complete silence. The streets were empty. And I noticed that nobody had moved their cars, that the streets hadn't been cleaned. And suddenly, as I walked around the corner, a zombie came up to me and bit me, and now I'm a zombie. Reza, over to you. You woke up naked on a park bench this morning.
Yes, as you do. As you do.
You woke up naked on a park bench this morning. Yes, what happened?
There's a perfectly good explanation.
I'm sure there is.
The previous evening, I had taken my girlfriend out for a romantic meal. I had chosen the restaurant very carefully. I'd ordered her favorite food. I'd given her plenty of wine to get her in a good mood, because I had some bad news to give her that we were going to break up. But I hadn't had the courage to tell her in the restaurant. So after we'd arrived back home, she got a bit, shall we say, a bit hot under the collar, and she...
What does that mean?
Stroppy.
A bit excited. No. Yeah, well, excited. Excited. It could be because she was in a bad mood, or sexually, and I have to say it was sexually.
She got hot.
It was sexually. And she took my clothes off, and...
Why was she wearing them?
She took my clothes off me... And she threw me down the bed, and I couldn't resist. So why did I wake up naked on a park bench? Well, we had been enjoying an intimate moment together when I decided I couldn't go on and had to break the news. I had to tell her it was all over. Well, to cut a long story short, she threw me directly out of the house, butt naked.
How many floors?
Completely naked. Yeah, she threw me out the window. I hurt my butt, el culito. And the wine had its effect by then, and I was feeling a bit drowsy. I went to sit on a park bench.
You hadn't got dressed by that point.
She wouldn't let me back in. I had tried to climb up the wall, the outside wall of the house, and I fell down. So I gave up. I sat down on a park bench. And I hadn't been there very long, I suppose, when the wine overcame me and I fell asleep. That's why I woke up naked on a park bench.
Interesting. Mike.
Oh, no.
Tocati. You started speaking fluent Chinese for no apparent reason.
Well,
you started speaking fluent Chinese for no apparent reason.
Oh, well, there was a reason, really. Food in the house had been getting worse and worse, and we both agreed that it was time for a change. So we'd got really bored with this. So we went along to a local Chinese restaurant, which was fantastic. We had been there before, actually. We'd been there a few times, and they used to have the television going very strong. So the long and the short of it is we'd been going to the Chinese every day, twice a day, actually, for the last 4 years now, I think. And I suddenly started speaking Chinese. I think there was a reason, really.
So you'd heard it in the background.
I'd heard it in the background, exactly.
It wasn't intentional. I reckon it's something to do with monosodium glutamate.
Yes, there's too much of that.
That's why I avoid Chinese restaurants.
There's too much of that, yeah.
Definitely. Well, I think that's all we've got time for. Any last comments before we leave?
No.
Thank you, Mike, for being our special guest on this podcast. We thoroughly enjoyed your company.
That's very decent of you, sir.
And we'd like to remind our listeners that if you want to contact Mike or look at his webpage and his excellent CD for learning phrasal verbs, because Mike's a bit of an expert when it comes to phrasal verbs, you can go to his website, which is Mike Harding, that's with an E, so MikeHardinge.com, where you can find a way to contact Mike and look at his exercise and his CD on phrasal verbs.
Well, that's just about it then.
And now it's your turn to practice your English. We would like you to practice the past perfect and record yourself saying four or five sentences using the past perfect in context. So mix it with simple and continuous, past perfect simple, past perfect continuous, and please make sure the sentences are true for you. Or you could tell us a real or imaginary story similar to ours. Send your voice messages via speakpipe.com/inglespodcast. That's speakpipe.com/inglespodcast. And remember, you have about 90 seconds to tell your story or give us your example sentences. And if you're using a mobile phone, you do need the SpeakPipe application. If you prefer email, send us an email at me, Craig@inglespodcast.com.
Or to me, Reza, that's BelfastReza@gmail.com.
And on next week's episode, what are we speaking about? We don't know, do we?
We don't know. Hopefully we're leaving the past behind us and going to the future, maybe.
Yeah, so next week there'll be a surprise. Thanks again to Reza, thanks again to Mike, and until next time, it's goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from Mike.
And it's goodbye from Reza.
Goodbye. The music in this podcast is by Pitts, and the track is called See You Later.
You're not expecting me to talk, are you?
No. Oh, okay. Just sit there and look professional.
They can't exactly see me, can they?